Well, we made it. Here we are in 2017. What a blessing it is to wake up each day and have the opportunity to share in God's world. What would it take for 2017 to be a Happy New Year for you? $1 million? What if you got $1 million, but got a terminal illness during 2017? Had to spend it all trying to spare your life for one more week or one more month. Say, well, what about a new car? Well, a new car would be nice. What if you had a wreck during 2017 and were paralyzed for the rest of your life? What I'm trying to get at is I want us to think higher. So you say, well, how about 10 million? No, I'm not talking about things. I'm trying to get us to think on a higher plane. And I've asked Paul the apostle to help us with this challenge to make 2017 a happy new year. And I believe to do that, we're going to have to learn to focus. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to us in Philippians chapter 3. Here is where he tells us, but this one thing I do. I'm so amazed by this passage of Scripture. This one thing I do. Not 100 things I plan, or 50 things I start, or a dozen things I attempt, but this one thing I do. One translation translates this verse by saying, I am bringing all of my energies to bear in this one thing. I have to admit, I struggle with this concept. And I don't think that I'm the only one that does. Because we live today in a stress-filled world. But no other nation on the face of this earth has to deal with more stress-related diseases or takes more depression medicine than we do right here in the United States of America. One of the reasons is we stress ourselves out because we try to do too much. I know it is so easy for me to get started in something and then a phone call or something and I get distracted. And I find that many times I start too many things and I don't really do a great job with some of them. And I think that a lot of us are that way. We live these busy lives. We live these involved lives. And we're just going all the time and we're... And it's hard to catch up with ourselves. Paul is saying we need to have a focused life. And it begins on a spiritual plane. Now we're going to have to do some work in our physical plane. But Paul really helps us out in giving us some focus in the spiritual. I know that there's one German proverb that says, he who begins much accomplishes little. And one New Year's resolution I read said, I plan to do less and do it better in this coming year. Maybe that would be a good New Year's resolution for all of us. So what is this that Paul wants us to focus on? And he begins by saying that we need to focus on a person. We need to focus on Jesus. In verse 8, Paul says, chapter 3, he said, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, we've talked about this before. There is a huge difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. What Paul has in mind here when he says that his challenge is to know Jesus is he's talking about developing a relationship with the Christ. He says, this one thing I do. I want to know Jesus, the power of his resurrection. When I married Pat at the ripe old age of 20, I really thought I knew her. Duh. Yeah. All right. But there are a lot of things through our marriage that I've learned about my wife. And after 51 years of being married, she still surprises me. And I realize and know that there are a lot of things that I have yet to learn about Miss Pat. And this is what Paul is saying here. In verse 10 and 11, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. What Paul is saying is, I want to know more. Now, he knew Jesus, but he is saying, I want to know more about him. I want to know him personally. I want to have that kind of relationship with my master that we are one in our focus, in our vision, in our determination. And there were three things that Paul pointed out here. He said that he wanted to know Christ in this life. And he wanted to know about the power of his resurrection. Now, I think that what he was talking about is the strength that is available through the power of the resurrection of Christ. Because Christ was raised from the dead, we have a power. We have the power of salvation. We have the power to overcome sin and temptation. There are a lot of powers that are available to us because Jesus defeated death for mankind and made these powers available. Paul knew this. He was already blessed with power. He says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he said, the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul knew the power of salvation. Jesus had changed his life. Changed his life. I don't mean made some corrections. I mean, he changed his total direction. And Paul realized that power. Also in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew this power. But he felt a need for a constant renewal of this power. And he knew that it came through a knowing Jesus. Just like batteries go down, they need to be recharged. We need to recharge our spiritual batteries. And Paul realized this. That's why that if your New Year's resolution is to be more faithful in serving God and being a part of the services, that's a great way to help renew your batteries. That's why I appreciate Wednesday nights so much. They're that midweek recharging that helps me get on through the week. But don't start out that way. We're gonna start on this new year. We're going to make services a regular part of our life and then do that for 2 or 3 weeks and then miss, and then it becomes easier to miss and easier to miss until you're right back to where you were in 2016, where you're just coming occasionally. We all need that recharging. And Paul, as much as anyone, realized that. And that's why he was always striving, why he was always pushing, why he was always climbing to greater heights and greater understanding and a greater relationship with Jesus. And then he said in the second place here, he said that knowing Christ was knowing the fellowship of his suffering. That word fellowship comes from the word koinonia, and it means sharing. Paul said that he wanted a sharing of his sufferings. Now, I've seen mottos that said, save to serve, but I had never seen one that said, save to suffer. Well, we don't buy into that real big time. We're not real big on suffering. I'm thankful to God that no one's going to beat us this morning because we came to services. No one's going to take us out and crucify us on a cross because we're Christian. I'm thankful that we live in a nation where we have freedom. And we're able to worship, serve God freely. Paul knew these sufferings. I mean physical sufferings. In Galatians 6 and verse 17, he said, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul literally knew much of the physical suffering that Jesus had undergone, and he said, I'm thankful every time that that happens because it just brings me closer to the Master. I mean, he made statements like, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in my distresses, in my persecutions, in my trials for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I made strong. That's a crazy thing to say, a nutty thing to say. I'm glad whenever I have to suffer for the Lord. When they beat me, I just am happy about it. That's just crazy, man. But that was Paul, you see. He just said it just brings me closer to the Master. Now again, I am more than thankful that no one is going to come through this door this morning and take us all into custody. So how can we learn and share in the fellowship of his sufferings? Well, I contend that an effort to understand, to really do some study about what Jesus went through, what he left, what he gave up, what he did for us, his suffering on the cross, his life of persecution. If we can set as a goal this year, and I'm going to try to help us. I'm going to try to help us with some lessons about Christ and about the challenges that he has and he went through for us. I'm going to try to give us some opportunities. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that so much. I'm going to try to give us some opportunities to study those things and to try to have a greater understanding of what my Jesus did for me so that I could have a 2017 as a happy year and a secure Christian year. And then thirdly, Paul said here that this focus on Jesus was to be conformed to his death. I've already said how that Paul felt like that Jesus had already done so much to change his life and to literally snatch him from the jaws of spiritual death. Again, Galatians 2 and verse 20, and this time the whole passage. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, watch this now, watch this, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, what kind of life did you live before, Paul? I was a persecutor. I was going the wrong direction. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul is saying here is in this effort to know Christ more fully, he had at least four things. A personal experience that I may know him. A powerful experience, the power of his resurrection. A painful experience, the fellowship of his suffering. And a practical experience, being conformed to his death. And all of us can do that same thing by being baptized into Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, I want to read to you, and I want you to listen carefully as we read and notice the progression from living a sinful life, dying to sin, being buried with Christ, being raised to walk in a brand new life. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him in baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we should be raised to walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died once. He died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise, listen now, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can share in that death of Jesus. But then Paul realized anew, finally this morning, that simply knowing Jesus in this life was not enough. But he sought to know him in the next life. And here's what he said, verse 11 of chapter 3 of Philippians, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul knew that someday, somewhere, he would live the resurrected life. He'd be with the Master. That time, all conflicts would be resolved. All ills healed. All human frailties, both moral and physical, would be eliminated. All wrongs would be righted. Then there'd be a place where there'd be no more tears, no more sorrow. And he longed for that and wrote about it. But what he longed for more than anything else was to being with Jesus and to know him perfectly and completely. So here we stand, brink of 2017. First day. What an awesome thing it is to start a brand new year on the Lord's Day. But the challenge is this, to know Jesus more perfectly, more fully, with a relationship with the Master this year like you have never had before. Know him in this life. Walk with him here. Obey his great truths. You'll have a chance, like Paul, to walk with him in eternity. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend?